Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Most wanted terrorist caught hiding behind coronavirus mask. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist and your terrorist therapist. Yes, the coronavirus mask has all kinds of intriguing stories behind it, literally behind it in this one. Abdel Barry, who we will subsequently call Abdel Barry from now on. He was Europe's most wanted ISIS terrorist, and he used a coronavirus masks actually, to hide, and he was just captured in Spain. So he's a really interesting guy. He was born in Egypt. He came to the UK when he was 6 years old with his family. His father is a very renowned terrorist. I'll tell you a little bit about that. And he was a rapper before he became an ISIS terrorist. So we'll get into his story. And, you know, there's a lot of irony here. Because, of course, when we were more concerned about terrorism than coronavirus, we're all familiar, of course, with terrorists and the clothes that they wear, and notably the masks that they wear and the headgear and so on. And now it's so ironic for these terrorists to be hiding behind masks that are used for coronavirus. So Abdel Barry is 28 years old. He has just been caught, as I said. When he was 6 years old and he came to the UK, his father was put in jail soon after for atrocities that he perpetrated as a terrorist. And what happened was the Spanish anti-terror police raided a rental apartment in the south of Spain, and they arrested him and his two cohorts. They took advantage of the coronavirus outbreak to sneak into Spain, and they wore surgical masks to disguise their appearance. Now, he has a whole history, which I'll tell you about. He spent several years, actually from 2013 to 2015, as a fighter in ISIS. In the Middle East, in ISIS. And he left the UK. Actually, he left the UK when his father, in 2012, his father was extradited to the US. And that is soon after that is when Abdel Barry moved to the Middle East to become a member of ISIS. And now his father is still in the US in jail. And he has now, well, so, okay. So he was in the Middle East until ISIS in the Middle East until 2015. And then he went to Turkey, but I'll get to that. He apparently is considered he was known to have a very peculiar personality, when he spent these years in the Syrian-Iraqi conflict zone. And he was very violent, which is why he was one of the most wanted, or the most wanted in Europe. And he, for example, he once posed with a severed head in Syria, and he promised death to all Westerners. So he, as I said, left London in 2013, and then he left, and he joined ISIS. He left the group in 2015 after a sustained coalition bombing. In other words, after it was getting too dangerous for him to keep being there because of coalition bombing, he left, and he's been on the run ever since. Now, his father, Adel Abdel Barry Sr., was actually had close ties to Osama bin Laden. And he was jailed in the US. He was convicted. He was extradited in 2012 from the UK to the US. And then he was in jail, and he had a plea bargain and, you know, a trial and all of that. And he was convicted of a plot to blow up an embassy in Africa, the US embassy in Africa. And he was sentenced to 25 years for conspiring to kill Americans in this 1998 embassy bombing. And that killed 224 people. Now, the authorities in Spain said that he and his companions used ironclad security measures to try to avoid being detected. So the police said, after a complex investigation, it was possible to determine the circumstances of his arrival on the Almeria coast, the southern coast of Spain, as well as his subsequent movements, finally achieving his location and arrest. Again, they had ironclad security measures, and both when they came from North Africa to Spain and in the movements that they made in Spain. Because once they were in Spain, they were able to act like everybody else who is put in lockdown. The people around them didn't find it strange that they were spending most of their time in their rental apartment and going out with masks. And so, because of COVID-19, this was expected behavior. It didn't arouse any suspicion. And of course, he kept wearing masks whenever he went out. Now, this investigation was helped. The Spanish police and the Spanish counterterrorism authorities were helped by international cooperation who had been trying to find him. They were hunting him for years, and they thought that he was probably going to return to Europe through Spain, and probably wanted to go, was going to plan to go back to the UK after he got to Europe through Spain or in some way. So now here's the interesting, it's all interesting, but one of the reasons or ways he was discovered, even though he was wearing a mask, was that he was identified by his ears. If you're gonna wear a mask and you're a terrorist, find one with ears that covers your ears. He does have rather unique ears. They are kind of elf-like. They kind of stick out from the sides of his head, and they have rather unique, a unique shape as well. But yes, they are unique, and they first identified him, seeing him walk around, they identified him, or they thought they had, through his ears. And then when they arrested him and took his fingerprints, that was the, they knew for sure who he was. It was a little hard for them to identify him, except for his ears, because he had gained more than 84 pounds since his days in Syria, and And as I said, he took advantage of the coronavirus lockdown to hide behind a face mask on the rare occasions that he went out. So they found him with two other men, as I said, and the shape of his ears was the clue. Now, in 2014 in Syria, he put on social media pictures of himself holding a decapitated head. He was really a very violent guy. There's all kinds of other reports about how violent he was. They think that he reached Spain from Africa in a boat called a patera, which is a word that they use to describe rickety wooden boats that sub-Saharan Africans used to reach Spain. This is still early in the investigation, and so they're still kind of figuring all these things out. There are reports that he was going to perhaps return to the UK when the coronavirus lockdown was over. And so going to Spain was really his plan B, you know, to stay there. And really he was planning on going, if he was going to go to Spain, he was going to go to Barcelona, because that is where there are a number of well-integrated Muslims, you know, so he thought he could hide well there amongst them. And that is the place, as you may remember, in 2018, that there was that horrendous terror attack. Now, another interesting thing about Abdel Bari was, first of all, I'm going to get into how he made a name for himself as a rapper and some of his lyrics. I'll tell you about that. But what is also interesting is that after he decided to leave ISIS, you know, he was only in ISIS for approximately 2 years, and he became disillusioned with ISIS, and went to Turkey from Syria. And that was around the same year that his father was, you know, convicted in the US for this role in the embassy bombing. Now, interesting. You know what? I got so interested in this, I didn't realize that I should probably end this segment this time. I'll leave you on this cliffhanger. There was another reason why Abdel Bari chose Spain, in my opinion, as where he wanted to land, you know, obviously, because that was where he thought it would be easiest to not arouse suspicion, especially with coronavirus and masks and so on. But there's another intriguing aspect to Spain. So stay tuned and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show. Today, I'm talking about a man named Abdel Bari. He is Europe's most wanted ISIS terrorist, and he somewhat successfully used coronavirus masks and the whole lockdown because of coronavirus to hide in Spain until he was caught. I said that I would tell you another reason why I think that he landed in Spain first before perhaps going back to the UK. And of course, you know, international counter-terrorist organizations were trying to hunt him down and trying to find him. And of course, the main reason was because they suspected that he was going to go back to Europe and, you know, a country in Europe or the UK specifically, and to perpetrate a terrorist attack. So it wasn't like this was, you know, it wasn't like this was a total surprise that indeed he finally did come back. Now, here's the extra reason why I think he went to Spain. In October 2015, he tried to have a Spanish woman flown to Turkey to join him as his bride. But Spanish authorities thwarted the plan. They somehow found out about the plan. Her name is Maria de los Angeles Cala Marquez. And she was jailed for 2 years in June 2018. So she is presumably still in jail until June 2020, which may also be not a coincidence, you know, may also be the reason why he came to Spain, not only came to Spain, but came to Spain at this time, since her jail sentence would presumably be up very soon. So she was jailed after she admitted trying to travel to Turkey to meet up with Abdelbari to help him return to Europe and to become his bride, of course. She was a former hotel chambermaid, and she was arrested when she tried to board a flight to Istanbul and travel to a secret location where he was on the run from all the people who were trying to find him. And she admitted that she intended to travel to Syria to marry Abdelbari. Now, it's funny, to Syria, he was, I guess they weren't quite sure where he was, in Turkey or Syria, and she was going to find him and marry him. And she was, the plan was to go to Turkey first and then to Syria, of course. And then she had contacted several what they're calling intermediaries online to help provide her this safe path to him, to marry him. But, you know, it's not always safe to communicate all these details online. And indeed, her plot, their plot, was foiled by Spain's Guardia Civil Paramilitary Police. And they captured her at the Madrid airport in October of 2015. So that may well have been a large part of the timing and the choice of landing, where he landed, for Abdelbari. Now, let me tell you, this is so cool. Let me tell you a little bit about Jihadi Rap and how he was this rap star before he decided to leave and join ISIS. Jihadi Rap existed before the conflict in Syria, but the more Westerners there were who went to the Middle East to join jihadist groups, the more prominent Jihadi Rap became and the more people it involved. And the reason why this came about was because of the idea of counterculture. So because rap and hip hop are essentially musical forms of protest and rebellion, and these are for these typically become the means of expression of people who are feeling marginalized in society. And jihadists, of course, are trying to find people who feel marginalized, people who are feeling lost. Those are the people who are most vulnerable to being recruited by jihadists. And they feel like society doesn't accept them, so they want to rebel. And they have this, you know, rap and hip hop, but in particular, we're talking about jihadi rap. That is where this kind of comes from at the grassroots level. Now, we're not talking about people like Jay-Z, not at that level, but jihadists, whether they're, you know, not necessarily having to be in the Middle East when they start jihadi rap, because certainly Abdelbari wasn't. He started becoming a jihadi rapper when he was in the UK. Now, the way to understand psychologically Abdelbari is, of course, through his father. He was a very angry young man because his family, when his father was employed essentially by Osama bin Laden, and he had an office in London, the father had an office in London where he was, it was like an office of communication from Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda to the media. So there was a time or times when the father and the family were rather rich. But then when the father went to jail and was stayed in jail, his family and it was only the mother left to try to earn money for the family, they became poor. And so, you know, it's a very common kind of story, not just for jihadis, but that people in the States, people all over, who feel as though they're lost, feel angry about something that has happened to them, like that their father was put in jail. Of course, never mind that his father was this really killed all these people. I mean, through, not directly, he didn't shoot them, but he was involved in this plot. He helped bring about an attack that killed hundreds of people. So the rap songs particularly expressed frustration over his father's prosecution and jail. And he had, you know, his lyrics were very rebellious, as I will tell you. He has, in fact, you can still find some of his music videos online. And I will tell you some of the lyrics. I was mentioning before about how he posted a picture of himself on social media holding the severed head of a Syrian soldier. And he called it "Chillin' with my other homie, or what's left of him." Dun dun dun. That kind of gives you a little snapshot into how angry he was, primarily about his father and being caught and being jailed for all those years, and you know, and what happened to his family and so on. So let me read to you some of the lyrics. There now. Oh, when his father was in jail, his mother used to they had eight children. His father and mother had eight children, and his mother would take the children to jail, where they would play with their imprisoned father, and she was struggling to make ends meet. And his songs, his rap songs, talked about the typical kinds of topics like. Other than terrorism, I mean, that's typical for jihadi rappers, but you know, even all rappers talk about poverty and things they're angry about and so, and feeling like an outsider and so on. And he rapped about his father's incarceration, his mother's struggle to provide for her family. And there's a thought that maybe at one time, through the lyrics, there's a thought that maybe at one time he struggled with drug addiction. So one of his songs is called "In the Beginning." And in it, he says, "I remember getting no nice gifts. I rose from the rubble in the cold night shifts." In regard to his father's arrest, he said, "Give me that nine and I'll cock it for my partners. Give me the pride and I'll honor it like my father. I swear the day they came and took my dad, I could have killed a couple too, and I wouldn't have looked back. Imagine back then I was only six. Just picture what I'll do now with a loaded stick." Then towards the end of the song, called "In the Beginning," he said, "Shouts to my mother, 'cause I seen her raising eight kids. You always knew what's best for me. I hope I die before I see you. Rest in peace. Calm, yeah, I'm calm." And then another song, "Bar Session," it's called. He raps about drug dealing. "I'm trying to get my mother in that bigger home." He talks about being disillusioned, wondering how the character in the song, which may be him, has arrived at a life selling drugs and how empty it is. "Soon I'll be leaving. Give me something to believe in." So that seems to be when he was thinking about going to Syria and waging jihad. In another music video, he said, "And now they want to send my family back to Egypt, already feeling seasick. Gotta get that peace quick. On top of that, the pops is doing life without remand. I gotta keep my calm. Can't write with that shit on. It's hard to focus on the future with a damaged past. And still I try to count my blessings and I thank Allah." Another song called "Dreamer," he said, "I remember when I used to be young, I had big dreams. I wasn't just your usual thug. A decade down the line, still in the same position. Now only hope I have is music or drugs. The lyrics don't always rhyme, as you can tell, but I have found some songs online, and I must say, I think he should have stayed being a rap artist instead of going to the Middle East, to Syria, to become a jihadist. Okay, we're going to get more into some of his social media, things that he posted online in social media that gives you more, even more of a view inside his head. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking today about the most wanted terrorist caught hiding behind coronavirus masks. Yes, indeed. We're talking about the Egyptian-born British terrorist called Abdel Majid Abdel Barry, or for short, just Abdel Barry, who joined ISIS in 2013 and left in 2015, and then just recently, made his way back to Spain, or made his way back to, you know, made his way to Spain, probably on the way back to the UK. And as I was mentioning before, I don't think it's a coincidence that this is when the woman he wanted to be his bride is due to come out of prison or jail. So now I'm going to tell you about some of his early social media activity, to give you more of a view into inside his head. He's a really interesting guy. His father was a very renowned terrorist. He was put in custody in the United Kingdom from 1999, and then he was extradited, as I said. Well, during all this going back and forth, and during his father's, trying not to be extradited and so on, and his appeals in the U.S. as well, he had lots of lawyers, and his lawyers included medical reports as part of their trying to get him to not be extradited and so on. And so these medical reports included talking about the father's serious depression and risk of suicide in prison. Now, that may just be lawyers trying to find a reason to either not extradite him or not have him have to spend a lot of time in prison and so on. But if it is true, giving them the benefit of the doubt, if it is true, that would, one has to wonder, did Abdel Barry inherit genes for depression? Did he inherit genes for manic depression? I mean, he was this pretty well-known rapper, and you have to look for these things online. You have to look for some music video of his rapping, because, I probably didn't do justice to his songs, but he wasn't bad as a rapper. He was a lot better than a rapper than he was as an ISIS fighter, it would seem to me, or at least that was not hurting anybody as a rapper. Okay, so anyhow, let's look at his early social media posts. Because they are pretty interesting. Now, when he was in the UK, he was a rapper, he went under the names Jinny, J-I-N-N-Y, and also Abu AK-47 Al-Britani. You could get that one. As I said, his family was wealthy at times, when they were receiving money from Osama bin Laden. His father went to jail. I don't know, I guess they didn't have use for him anymore, and the money stopped coming, and his mother tried to work, but she obviously wasn't able to earn very much to support eight kids. In any case, in March 2014, he posted on social media a photo of himself with his father with the caption, "Miss my father, the realist. May Allah free you and unite us in Jannah, which means heaven. Inshallah, God willing. Inshallah, God willing. Then he, in December, he wrote, he tweeted, lately I have been having enough, dreams of my father getting released. Here, inshallah. Then also in March, that was December, what I just read you that he tweeted. Then in March, he tweeted about his younger brother who was serving a life sentence. I mean, look at that. His father, many years in jail, in prison. Now his brother serving a life sentence. And we, not sure how long he's going to get now that he's been captured in Spain. So in March, he tweeted, my little brother, Ahmed, got sentenced to life, 26 years minimum. Love, little bro. See you in the afterlife. Inshallah. Then in 2013, so he had already joined ISIS, he was already planning on joining ISIS in September. And he tweeted, don't believe the media and government when they tamper and scar the image of the Mujahideen. It's all lies. These kufs, meaning kufar, disbelievers, are terrified of an Islamic state, a caliphate being established because they won't be able to oppress Muslims anymore. That was his quote. At that time, so this is September 2013, he was still a fan of popular music, including Rihanna. He liked her song. He tweeted the lyrics to her song, Pour It Up. He tweeted, these are her lyrics, all I see is signs. All I see is dollar signs, money on my mind, money, money on my mind. When I touch down, it's madness. Kind of an ironic thing to be tweeting when he's on his way to Syria. Perhaps because of the situation that his family is in, he's thinking that he might, and because his father was sent to the U.S., extradited, it's the idea of going to Syria and becoming a member of ISIS was more appealing to him. But he realized that, the Islam and jihadi ideology conflicted with being a rapper. And so he decided, he chose jihad and he left the rap world and he deleted as many traces of his former self, as many music videos and so on as he could. Then he tweeted in October 2013, for everyone that still asks me about where my video's gone, like I said a while back, I quit music and I took the vids I can down. Then he tweeted, imprisonment for me is a chance to be alone with my Lord, to be killed is martyrdom, and to be exiled from my land is a spiritual journey. This is just as he was on his way to join ISIS. Then when he got to Syria in December 2014, he wrote, Alhamdulillah, thank God for the blessing of Islam and jihad. Man, think they're living in hell in the UK? Come out here and you'll appreciate what you got in night and day, LOL, Then he got angry at the various reports about him in the British tabloids. And he was especially angry at their descriptions of him as a terrorist. And he, made fun of the errors that they made and so on. And then in 2014, he tweeted, funny how the UK and US wanted so-called intervention in Syria before, yet anyone who goes there to fight is labeled a terrorist. Then he wrote that he and a fellow jihadist had been kidnapped and robbed by fighters from a rival rebel group. He talked about them kidnapping him and torturing him. And they stole our four AKs and a 7mm, my vehicle and our phones and cash. Then he talks about a car bomb right outside his house. This is, you know, while he's still in Syria in 2014. Huge car bomb went off right outside my place today. Woke up to ceiling crashing in, down, crashing down, LOL. Lots of shihads, martyrs. All is blessed, though. Thought it was a barrel bomb dropped at first from the impact. Then I second-guessed when I got outside. Must have been nearly 2 tons of TNT. And then, okay, this is really good stuff. Then I know I'm going on a bit, but this is really interesting. I hope you find it that. He was complaining about people who weighed in on the conflict from the comfort and safety of the West. So in February 2014, he tweeted, "If you ain't in Syria, you have no right to commentate about the actions and intentions of the Mujahideen. Hold your tongue, Mr. Mufti, chilling on your sofa, trying to convince yourself jihad ain't fard, means obligatory right now. To make yourself feel better about neglecting your duty is weak, my brother." Then writing, tweeting about the victories of ISIS in Iraq, he posted a series of tweets mocking the West, saying, quote, "Look how much $1 trillion you spent in Iraq to try and prevent this, and how many years wasted, only to be disappointed. We still coming strong. How much wasted trying to train the Iraq army to combat terrorism?" And he has terrorism in single quotes. "And how much billions spent on weapons only to fall into our hands now?" Then the last tweet that I have is June 2014. He threatened the scummy pagans in the West. "I swear to God, the days of Muslim silent oppression are over. The lions are coming for you, filthy cuffs, kuffars, disbelievers. Beheadings in your own backyard soon. The black flag of Tawhid, Islamic monotheism, will fly on top of Parliament and the White House. I swear to you, stay indoors and away the bombs, you scummy pagans." Of course, then he, that was in 2014, and he then left soon after that. It got disillusioned with ISIS and has been now trying to make his way home, landing in Spain, hiding behind not only the masks, but the lockdown, you know, so that he wouldn't be, his behavior, his hiding behavior wouldn't be seen as odd by anybody else there, because everybody is essentially on lockdown. If it were not for his ears, he might still be free today and making his way to the UK to plan a terror attack and perhaps taking his bride with him. Well, thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism4kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.